welcome to A More Sure Word, the radio broadcast of the Northview Baptist Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I'm Pastor Grimes, and today I begin a study of the Gospel of John. This study consists of edited recordings taken from our Sunday school. You'll hear me refer to outlines. The printed outlines are available at our website. It's northviewbaptistchurch.org. I sincerely hope that this study is a blessing to you. Thank you for listening. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, that'll match Genesis 1:1. That'll match the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning was the Word. Notice Word spelled with a capital W. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's talk for a few minutes about the historic setting of the Gospel of John. And I would ask you to look on your outline. Look at your outline, the setting. John was the last living apostle. He wrote five books, Gospel of John, three epistles, and the book of Revelation. He was inspired to write near the end of the first century. He may have written other epistles. He may have written other books, but these books were included by the Holy Spirit in the canon of Scripture. These books are completely and in every way authoritative, but he was the last living apostle. All the others died before him. Here's a man that he saw incredible things. Look on your outline. John was the last living apostle. He was among the first to be called and the last to die. His brother James had been the first to die, but by the time of his writing, all of the other apostles were in glory. John alone remained, and he was among the last of his generation. Brethren, he had witnessed incredible events. He had witnessed the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You could put a period right there, and that's an incredible thing. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, he says, we handled him, we know him. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard our Lord's teaching. He saw our Lord handle opposition. He saw our Lord perform incredible miracles. He saw our Lord open an understanding of individuals. And he was close to the Lord Jesus. He experienced, he witnessed incredible events, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the propagation of the gospel. He's there throughout the book of Acts, and he saw the apostles continue the work that our Lord Jesus had established. And then he saw the destruction of Jerusalem. We believe that he wrote somewhere about 90 AD. Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. By the time that he was inspired to write this gospel, there was no temple in Jerusalem. There was no worship in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was destroyed. And he saw the growth of the Christian church. He saw the formation and the advance of the Christian church. He saw believers. He experienced so many things. John alone remained, and he was the last of that generation. Additionally, the New Testament scriptures were nearly complete. By 90 AD, the books that you have in the New Testament were complete with the exception of John's writings. With this experience, John was inspired to write the fourth gospel, three epistles, and the Revelation. We believe he wrote somewhere between 85 and 90 AD. Number one, the setting. Number two, the purpose. Now, this is where we put these things together. Why was John inspired to write another gospel? There are three gospels. Why one more gospel? Three gospels, the book of Acts, the Pauline epistles, and most of the Hebrew epistles were all in circulation by the end of the first century. So why write another gospel? The reason is there was much more to be said. The other gospels focused on the Galilean ministry of our Lord Jesus, but John possessed intimate knowledge of our Lord's ministry in Judea. When you study Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find that the majority of those books focus on the Galilean ministry, what he did by the Sea of Galilee and near Capernaum, and it's an incredible account. John's gospel, it really doesn't spend much time there. John's gospel focuses on his ministry in Judea. And so that's important. Let's continue on the outline. The other gospel accounts generally presented the kingdom of heaven. But John, he wrote late in the first century, and John's gospel would include New Testament mysteries which were expounded in the inspired writings of the Apostle Paul. When you read the book of Galatians, Paul said that he got his doctrine, he got his understanding of salvation directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he didn't get it from any man. He said he got it from God. But then he goes on to say that he was in agreement with Peter and John and the others. So the New Testament mysteries, when you study the New Testament, you'll find seven mysteries in the New Testament. These are things that were revealed in the New Testament. These are things that have to do with the New Testament church. Well, John was aware of these things by the end of the first century. Matthew's gospel was written primarily to the Jews to present Jesus Christ as the king. John Mark had written to the Romans to present Jesus Christ as a servant. Luke had written largely to the Greeks to present Jesus Christ as a man. The Apostle John was inspired to write to the third generation of believers. Gnosticism had invaded the church, denying the Lord's deity, and it most influenced that new generation. Some folks talk about the lost books of the New Testament. Well, you know the Lord didn't lose any books. But those books that they lift up today that are not included in the canon of Scripture, those are called the Gnostic Gospels. They were rejected by the early church. Frequently, you might see articles about a particular book that's been found or been studied or been expounded by somebody, something like the Gospel of Thomas or the Gospel of Judas, many other such books. Those are Gnostic Gospels. They were rejected by the first century church. By the time of the Apostle John's writing of this book, Gnosticism was pretty widespread. He was familiar with it. And he lived at that moment, he was the last of a generation, and that third generation, they didn't know the things that he knew. They didn't know from personal experience the things that he knew, and neither do we. But he gave them his gospel, and he said, "These things are so. I was there. I saw it. I know." There are those that say that Gnosticism and Christianity go together. They call themselves the Christian Gnostics. But if you really study Christianity and you study Gnosticism, they don't go together at all. It just doesn't work. Gnostics claim to possess an elevated knowledge, a higher truth that is only available to them and to those that they reveal it and it is received. The Gnostics, as I've already pointed out, they used a variety of what we believe to be heretical writings, and they're called the Gnostic Gospels. They often refer to them as the lost books of the Bible. Gnostics believe that matter, is inherently evil, and the only good is spiritual. That all matter is evil. For that reason, the Gnostics believe that Jesus' physical body was not real, but only seemed to be physical. That he was entirely good, and he was, but he was entirely spiritual. No, he's called the Son of Man, and he's also called the Son of God. Gnosticism teaches that, or these so-called Christian Gnostics, they teach that salvation is gained through the acquisition of divine knowledge, which frees one from the illusions of this current darkness. Now think about that. John was exposed to this. He was inspired to write the Gospel of John. And he opens, he says, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He doesn't make any argument. He doesn't have any supporting information. He just says, "That's the truth. I know that to be true." When he wrote his epistles, he also dealt with these things. So in 1 John 5:13, he said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." He said, you can know. In 2 John, it's one chapter, verse 7, he addressed the spirituality of Jesus Christ. And he said, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist." Now, my main point at this moment is this. When you understand John's place in history, you can really have a greater understanding of his writings. And what he was dealing with is most important. Now, as I pointed out, the Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus Christ as the king. The Gospel of Mark presents Jesus Christ as a servant. the Gospel of Luke presents Jesus Christ as a man, then that fourth gospel, is it needed? Yes, it presents Jesus Christ as God. As God. Look again on your outline. The Apostle John was inspired to write to third generation believers. Gnosticism had invaded the church, denying our Lord's deity, and it had most influenced the new generation. Now watch this. Here's something that you and I, if you've been saved for a little while, you have observed this, but sometimes it's hard to really analyze it. Here's a statement. Watch it. For first generation believers, truth is a conviction. For second generation believers, it is a belief. And for third generation believers, it is merely an opinion. Now, let me really expound that, if I may. An individual who comes to an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he is saved, and all things to him are new. You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That first generation Christian, that individual who lived in the world or perhaps even in a religion without salvation, he comes to Jesus Christ and he's a first generation believer. And he has conviction. And those first century believers, you talk about conviction, brother. They died for what they believed. John's the remaining apostle in our study today. But all the others, they'd already been martyred. They would die rather than deny. And throughout the history of the church, you'll find that there have been multitudes of individuals of great conviction who would die rather than compromise what they knew to be truth. That's a first generation believer. But then they have children, praise God. Or maybe they have family, but they disciple that next generation. And for some reason, it's human nature. For that second generation, it doesn't mean quite as much to them. It doesn't impact them in the same way. And for that second generation, it's a belief. And many times they won't die for it. Then you get to that third generation. By the way, there are exceptions to every rule. Doesn't matter if you are what I'm describing as a first generation believer or you're the son of a long line of Christians. There's an exception to every rule, and every believer should be an individual of great conviction. You should bear your cross and follow the Lord Jesus. And the cross that you're called to bear is so minimal compared to what others have faced, and certainly our Savior. But that third generation, for them, truth is merely an opinion, and they'll get rid of it like that. That's what John was dealing with. And the thrust of his writings is this: I was there. We touched him. We handled him. We were with him. We saw these things. We know they're true. For first generation believers, truth is conviction. For second generation, it is belief. For third generation believers, it is merely an opinion. John wrote as the last apostle witness to emphatically declare that Jesus Christ is God. John's purpose for writing this gospel is clearly stated in John 20, verse 31. And I printed that for you. John 20, verse 31. Let's let the Apostle John speak for himself. He said, "These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." That's the main purpose for the Gospel of John. I'm Pastor Grimes of the Northview Baptist Church. We're located on the north side of Cumberland County. The street address is 7455 Ramsey Street, Fayetteville, North Carolina, 28311. And you're always welcome to visit with us at any of our regular services. The service times are available at our website. It's northviewbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening to A More Sure Word. And thank you for listening to the Fundamental Broadcasting Network. Our affiliate is 90.7 FM, WYBJ, Newton Grove, North Carolina. I'm Pastor Grimes. Have yourselves a good day.